6 Easter Thursday, Ascension Day C. First posted May 13, 2010. Psalm 110 Ascension of the King. Acts 1:1-11 Jesus Ascension. Ephesians 1:16-23 At the right hand of God. Luke 24:44-53 Jesus Ascension. Psalm 110 Background. Attributed to David, the great human shepherd king of Israel. Quoted in the New Testament. Matthew 22:44, Acts 2:34, 1 Corinthians 15:25, Ephesians 1:20, Hebrews 1:3-13. Psalm 110. The Lord God said to my Lord the King, the Messiah, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 1:101. His scepter comes forth from Zion, the city of God, in heaven. From God the King will reign in the midst of his enemies. When you lead your army upon the holy mountains, your people will offer themselves willingly. Your youth will come to you like dew from the womb of the morning. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 1104. See Genesis 14:18. God is at the king's right hand. By God's power and authority, kings will be shattered on the day of his wrath. His judgment will be executed upon the nations. They will be filled with corpses. The chiefs of all the wide earth he will shatter. He will drink from the brook on the way. So his head will be lifted up. Acts background. Luke and Acts were both written by Luke, the physician. Colossians 4:14. 2 Timothy 4:11. A Gentile, converted by Paul. Acts 1:1-11. Luke refers to the first book, the Gospel of Luke, and addresses this book to Theophilus, which may be an actual person, or generally to any lover of God, which is the meaning of the name. In the Gospel, Luke compiled a narrative of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ from his genealogy and birth to the day of his ascension, after giving his apostles messengers of the Gospel, his Great Commission Matthew 28:19-20, and last instructions to wait until they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit before going into the world, with the Gospel Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5, 8. After his resurrection, Jesus presented himself alive to his disciples, the apostles, and other followers and students of Jesus, with many proofs. Luke 24:13-53, 1 Corinthians 1:5-8, during a 40-day period, and teaching them about the kingdom of God, while he was staying among them, he told them not to depart from Jerusalem. The modern equivalent is the church, but to wait for the promised baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit, as Jesus had promised. John had baptized with water for repentance, but within a few days, the disciples would be baptized with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1-13. While they were gathered, they asked Jesus if he would be restoring the kingdom to Israel. Israel was subject to the Roman Emperor. Jesus replied that it was not their business to know times and seasons that God has determined by his own authority. They were to focus in receiving the promised Holy Spirit and to being witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, beginning in Jerusalem and then outward in Judea and Samaria and ultimately to the end of the earth in both geographic and temporal senses. After saying this, he rose up off the ground as they watched and was carried up out of their sight into heaven in a cloud. While they stood looking into the sky, two men angels stood by them in white robes, and addressing them as men of Galilee, asked why they were staring into the sky. The angels told the disciples that Jesus, who they had seen ascend into heaven, would return in the same way. Ephesians 1:16-23. Paul told the Christians in Ephesus in Western Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, established by Paul on his second Acts 18:19-21. And third missionary journeys Acts 1:9, 1:41, that he was constantly giving thanks to God for their reception of the gospel and praying that they would grow in spiritual wisdom and revelation and knowledge of God, that their spiritual eyes would be opened to see the hope to which they have been called in him, to realize the spiritual riches of their inheritance and glory with the saints, those who are consecrated to God's service and the working of immeasurable greatness of his almighty power in believers, through faith, obedient trust, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ, by raising him from the dead, and elevating him to sit at God's right hand, in God's eternal kingdom in heaven. He is elevated far above any earthly rule, authority, power and dominion. His name is above every other name, in this temporal age, and in the eternal age, which is coming. God has put all things in submission to Christ, and has made him the ruler of all things, for the true church, which is filled with the fullness of his total person and character. Luke 24:44-53. When Jesus appeared, on the day of his resurrection, to his disciples, who were staying in Jerusalem in the upper room, he told them that he had said that every prophecy about the Messiah in the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, the Jewish Bible, had to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city Jerusalem. The church is the modern equivalent, until you are clothed with power, from on high." Luke 24:45-49. Then Jesus led them from Jerusalem to Bethany, which was on the Mount of Olives about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. There he lifted up his hands, and blessed them, and parted from them, was carried up into heaven, and the disciples returned to Jerusalem with tremendous joy, and were continually in the temple thanking and praising God. Commentary. Psalm 110 was composed by David, probably for the coronation of a human king, but it is also prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ, as Jesus told his disciples. Luke 24:44. Jesus is the son of David, whom God promised would be the eternal king of God's kingdom, in heaven, to Samuel 7:5-13. Jesus asked the Pharisees, Jewish authorities in the Bible scriptures, what they understood about Psalm 101, and they couldn't answer him. Matthew 22:41-46. David was the forerunner and illustration of the Messiah Christ. Both words mean anointed in Hebrew and Greek, respectively. David didn't ascend into heaven to sit at God's right hand. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to David, Acts 2:34-36. God has the power and authority to execute judgment upon the nations of this world. But God has delegated that power and authority to Jesus. Jesus is the one righteous judge who has lived in this world in human flesh, but without sinning sin is disobedience of God's word. God is righteous and has the power and authority to judge, but we would feel that he is unable to understand our circumstances and weaknesses. Jesus has been tempted in every way, just like we are, but without sinning. So he is not unable to sympathize with our situation, Hebrews 4:15, and is able to help us in our weakness. Luke was converted by Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who had himself been converted after Jesus' physical ministry in earth, Acts 9:1-21. Neither had known Jesus' physical life and ministry from first-hand experience. But they had resources among those who had. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is the prototype and example of a modern, post-resurrection, born-again John 3:3-5-8, disciple, student, and apostle messenger of the gospel, as all of us can and should be. He had a personal encounter with the risen and ascended Jesus in the road to Damascus. Paul's conversion demonstrates the execution of the Great Commission by the born-again disciples of Jesus Christ. Paul was confronted by the risen and ascended Jesus, Acts 9:3-5. Paul confessed his sin, repented, Acts 9:9, accepted Jesus as his Lord, Acts 9:5, became obedient and trusted in Jesus' commands, Acts 9:6-8, and was discipled by born-again disciple Ananias, Acts 9:10, until Paul was born again, Acts 9:17-18, and then immediately began carrying out the Great Commission, Acts 9:20. Paul's conversion is unique only in the speed in which it was accomplished. But remember that Paul had been formally educated in Judaism, and that he loved God. He just needed to be pointed to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Paul repeated the process of disciple-making demonstrated by Jesus, and his own experience with Ananias, with Timothy, for just one of many examples. 2 Timothy 1:6-7, teaching them to repeat the process to Timothy, 2:2. I'm convinced that the church is there to the ministry of John, the baptizer. John came into the world to announce the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and to baptize with water for repentance and cleansing, so that we could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives. John 1:31-34. Only to his disciples. W13HO trust and obey Jesus. John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Ephesians 1:13-14. Romans 8:9b-1:15-16. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a personally discernible ongoing daily event. Acts 1:9-2. The church's role is to prepare believers to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit before sending them out into the world to proclaim the gospel and carry on the mission of Christ. Unfortunately, in too many instances, the nominal church is not making disciples, not encouraging, even discouraging members from seeking spiritual rebirth through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See false teachings. Sidebar, right. Too often new believers are attracted by end times prophecies and then want to continue an endless speculation about the second coming. I believe that end times preaching is useful to call on believers to repent, but once that is accomplished, their discipleship and spiritual rebirth should be the agenda. I think that Jesus' word to his disciples in Acts 1:6-8 is our mandate. Once we have believed in Jesus and have been filled with the Holy Spirit, our job is not to sit around speculating about when Jesus will return, but to proclaim the gospel until he comes. The Lord knows where we are and will return in God's perfect timing. Jesus promised to return to judge the living, quickened, and the dead in both physical and spiritual senses. 1 Peter 4:5. Matthew 2:4-151. 25:31-46. Matthew 7:21-27. 2 Thessalonians 1:5-10. Jesus is going to return in the same way as he ascended into heaven. I proclaimed the gospel to an individual until he committed to read the Bible in a year. I visited him periodically and re-motivated him several times when he had given up. Finally, he did finish the entire Bible, but immediately wanted to start publishing a Bible study like I was doing. He didn't realize that reading the Bible entirely is just the first step in discipleship, and he wouldn't listen to me, who had been walking in discipleship for 25 years. He'd read the Bible, but he hadn't begun to apply it in his daily life. He had no experience of the knowledge of faithfulness and power of God. He wasn't interested in discipleship. He wanted to speculate on end times and lost respect for me when I told him I wasn't concerned with end times. Jesus is the name above all names. Philippians 2:9-11. There is no other name on earth or in heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, to the glory of God the Father. 1 Timothy 6:15. Revelation 17:14. The Holy Spirit fills the true church and individual Christian members. In too many instances, the Holy Spirit has departed from nominal churches and nominal Christians, and they haven't even noticed. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9, the Spirit of the risen and ascended Jesus. The Spirit of the risen Jesus opens our minds to understand the Scriptures. Luke 2:4-5. Compare Luke 24:32, and recalls to our memory all that Jesus teaches. John 1:4-6b. A veil, left bracket sick, right bracket veil, lays over the minds of unbelievers, preventing them from understanding the Scriptures, and only through faith, obedient trust in Jesus is it removed. 2 Corinthians 3:14-16. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 1:9-2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13. Ephesians 1:13-14.